you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Every year I try to share this passage because it is vital to understanding the good news. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. This is God's word. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Ammon. Ammon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eluid. Eluid, the father of Eliezer. Eliezer, the father of Matan, Matan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations, and all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Say, well, that's not my favorite passage. It's one of my favorite passages, I'll tell you that. And the reason is not just because my wife loves genealogy. It's because this is not only God's word, but it is an extremely instructive passage. If you come to my house and you want to know about my ancestry, I will show you a beautiful framed chart in the foyer. Now, if you look at that chart, you will see some very impressive people. You will see Charlemagne. You'll see William the Conqueror, Alfred the Great. You'll see some titans of history. Those are among my ancestors. How do we know that? Well, my father's cousin was a genealogist who was educated at Princeton University, and she did careful research. But you see, the research was designed in order to tap into one particular fellow. I have two parents. I have four grandparents. It keeps multiplying as you go back, more and more ancestors. And what you do if you're a good genealogist is you comb through all those different options until you find pay dirt, until you find the thread of gold. Well, if you look at that genealogy chart, as I say, you will see Alfred the Great. He's got his own little portrait up in the left-hand corner. And over in the right-hand corner is where you will find William the Conqueror, I believe. And Constantine may be the guy in the middle. I don't know. Alfred the Great is another one who's, you know, I mean, we've got impressive folks. But we have little squares, too. The little squares are the ones for Charles the Bald, Charles the Simple, who was not called simple because of his expertise in explaining things. And Louis the Fat, he has to fit in a small square, okay? But these people have to be included in order to get to the ones you want. And what we needed was to get back to a fellow in American history whose name was Augustine Warner. Okay, and through Augustine Warner, we get down to my family. Well, what's so special about Augustine Warner? Well, because through Augustine Warner, we also can go down to George Washington. Yeah, that George Washington. We also go down to Robert E. Lee. Some people think that's great. Some people think that's embarrassing. But Robert E. Lee and George Washington were related to each other. And to me. But none of that would give us all this wealth of documented information were it not for the fact that you can also, from Colonel Augustine Warner, come forward and get to the Queen of England. Ah. The Queen Mother, the grandmother of the current king, was descended from Augustine Warner. She was sometimes referred to as the American Queen because she had some American ancestry. But when she was coming into the royal family, they had to make sure that she was okay in terms of her genealogy. So her line was very carefully researched, and it didn't just go back to Colonel Augustine Warner. It went back to William the Conqueror, Alfred the Great, all these people. You understand? That's why we know what it is all the way back to the 200s. Okay, well, Pastor Wood, I'm not interested. Okay, well, let me see if I can interest you in this one, because this is God's Word. Just as my genealogical chart is selective in what it reports. It doesn't trace all my ancestors. It traces the ones we want on the chart. Likewise, Matthew didn't put down everybody on the list. In fact, in order to get these 14, 14, 14 segments, he left out some people. And that's okay. That was not a shame or a shock or a misleading thing. If you will note, in the opening verse, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What that means is he's the descendant of those people, just like I could be called the son of Augustine Warner, meaning I am descended from Augustine Warner. Okay? These people who are listed because the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to list these people, to present it this way. But Matthew did something else. He not only selectively organized it into 14, 14, 14, he did something else. He included some people that normally didn't get mentioned. A category of people who normally were left off the list. But Matthew includes them. The women. All the women? No, not all the women. Just certain ones. Well, do those certain ones have anything in common, you might ask? Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. There's a reason why Matthew highlighted, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he highlighted certain women in order to remind the Jews of certain events in their history that are recorded for us in Scripture. Who's the first woman who's mentioned? It's not Sarah. She was the wife of Abraham. Isaac's wife doesn't get a mention. Jacob's wives don't get a mention, including the fact that it was not the wife he wanted who was the mother of Judah. But then we get Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Who was Tamar? Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law. What? That doesn't sound right. It wasn't right, but it happened. If you go back and you look in the Scriptures at Genesis 38, Tamar played the harlot and conceived a child with her father-in-law who didn't know it was Tamar. She was veiled. Well, why would she do that? Because she wanted a child. She had married Judah's son, Ur. But Ur was so bad that God killed him. And so, under the law, Judah's second son, Onan, was supposed to go into the tent and give her a child so that Ur, even though dead, would still, through his son, inherit the double portion of the eldest son. Well, Onan went into the tent, and Onan was intimate with Tamar, but he practiced a primitive form of birth control in order to prevent her from conceiving. And so God struck him dead. Now picture Judah when Tamar comes out of the tent and says, Dad, listen, I'm sorry, but son number two has also died in my tent. Can you understand where he'd be a little bit skittish about sending in son number three, which is what she wanted? Okay? It's like, no, I don't know exactly what's going on in there, but son number three is too young. Okay? We're not going to send him in. Just wait. So she waits. And then Judah marries son number three off to somebody else. And Tamar realizes he's never going to send son number three to me. I'm never going to have a child. There is no social security. There is no plan for me. I'm not only going to be a widow, I'm going to be a childless widow with nobody to take care of me in my old age. And I was supposed to be the widow whose son gets the double inheritance. So I'm getting ripped off by Judah. So Judah loses his wife and goes on a business trip. And Tamar hears about it and dresses up like a prostitute. And in their day, that didn't mean you wear skimpy clothes. It means you veil yourself so that nobody can tell who you are. Because back in primitive times, people used to know that sexual immorality is not something to be proud of. Okay? So she's waiting by the side of the road where Judah's going to pass by. And as Judah goes by, he sees her and he says, hey, how much do you want? And she says, what I want is just a kid from the flock. That's an English pun. She wanted a kid. See, that's what she wanted all along. But it's not a pun in Hebrew. Anyway, she wanted a young animal. That's what she asked for. He says, well, I don't have any on me, but I actually own flocks. And if you will let me be intimate with you, I will make sure you get a young animal from the flock. She says, okay, but I've got to have some kind of security deposit. How about your ring and your staff? two things that no man would be willing to be without. He says, okay, you know, I can get you an animal, and I'll leave my ring and my staff with you while we do this and while I go get the animal. She says, okay. They have relations. He leaves to go get an animal, and she leaves with his ring and staff and with the beginnings of a child inside her. Now, when he is told 3 months later, your daughter-in-law has played the harlot. She's gone out and behaved like a prostitute. She is pregnant. He says, bring her here and we will kill her. It's the death penalty. So they bring her. And he says, she's got to die. And she says, do you want to know who the father is? Certainly. I mean, who is this man who has defiled the memory of my sons? She says, well, I didn't get his name, but here's his signet ring and his staff. And at that point, everybody's like, because they all knew exactly whose staff that was and whose signet ring it was. Embarrassing. Judas said, she is more righteous than I am. She was not only allowed to live, but she gave birth to twins. And one of those twins is Perez. And Perez is the father of Hezron. And Hezron is the father of Ram. Do you see what he's done? By mentioning Tamar, he has reminded everybody, just in case you forgot the story, you remember Tamar? Yes, I think I do. We don't usually talk about that in Sunday school, but that's there. Well, then you get this fellow Salmon. If it was on a menu in a restaurant, it would be salmon. But it's not. He's not a fish. He's a man, and you call him Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Who was Rahab? Joshua 2 tells us she was a prostitute. Wow. Really? By the way, Tamar was a foreigner. So was Rahab. God brought them into the line. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth was also a foreigner. She was a Moabite, and no Moabite or his sons were allowed into the assembly of the Lord to the 10th generation. But there she was. God brought her in. And then you've got David. All those are in the line to David. Then you've got David. Man, he's the hero. Everybody loves David. He killed Goliath. He brought glory to Israel and to the name of the Lord. Oh, yeah. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. 2 Samuel. Why did he have to mention that? Well, that's how Solomon came to be. Through that adulterous relationship, no, the first child God took. But Solomon was the second child of David and Bathsheba. Now, if you had to include these people on the chart, you ought to put it in little boxes. Because you don't want to call attention to it. But Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is deliberately calling attention to these events in the royal line. And by the way, if you look at the rest of the people in the royal line, they were not all a bunch of good guys. Hezekiah's in there. He was great. His son was Manasseh. Manasseh was one of the most wicked people who's ever lived. His life was filled with horrible, demonic worship and rebellion against God. But he says, I'm not going to highlight that. I just want to make a point here. And the point is, this is the royal line, and it's filled with sinners and sin. We're introducing Jesus. Is this really what you want to say about Jesus? Yes. Because why did Jesus come? He came to save sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What's the main point? The main point is that everybody needs a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Everyone needs a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Everybody on this list, including Joseph, including Mary.
Well, no, I was taught that Mary was absolutely sinless. Had to be sinless in order for Jesus to be sinless. Really? So if Mary had to be sinless in order for Jesus to be sinless, did Mary's parents have to be sinless? Okay? Because you see, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus is the only one who saves. He's the only one who's sinless. And He came to save sinners. He said He didn't come for the righteous. You know why? There aren't any. Everybody, everyone needs a Savior. And so Matthew, in introducing the one who came to save, highlights in the royal line the fact that these people were sinners. Everybody on that chart of mine, sinners. From generation to generation to generation to generation, all a bunch of sinners. Some of them very impressive. Some of them very intelligent, some of them not. Some of them very powerful, some of them not. But that's not what saves anybody. Jesus didn't say, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you got to be smart. He didn't say, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you got to have money. You got to have family connections. No, He said, you need to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. The goal is not being born again. The goal is entering the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be a part of the kingdom? It means Jesus is your king. He's not only the one who came to save us, but salvation involves His being Lord of our lives. It means He's the boss. He's the owner. He's the ruler. We live for Him. That's what it's about. So, when you think about your life, if you are tempted by the father of lies to believe that somehow you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not old enough, you're not young enough, you're not rich enough, you're not poor enough, it's not about that. Jesus came to save people just like you. He loves you, and He wants you to know it. He died on the cross in order to save us. Don't be afraid to trust Him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. I actually enjoy buying gifts for my wife and children. And that's good, because I've got 7 children. I give gifts to my 8 grandchildren and to my staff as well. And at this time of year, I make some special gifts to several ministries that I believe are doing a good job sharing the gospel. Well, I'd be grateful if you would make a special year-end gift to Abiding in Christ like I do. Use the mail. Give online if you'd like at pastorwood.org, or call 866-41-ABIDE. But please, let us hear from you before the year is out. Thanks so much.